Greetings. I am Shusada Kona Kumada. Welcome to Satsang. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Satsang. This is Shusada Kona Kumada, and I'm so happy to have you with me again tonight. We're broadcasting out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and happy to have you with us. Let's go ahead and get cleared. Take a nice deep breath, and I will set the space. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each one of us, and I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you, to humanity. And I place myself in service to all of you listening tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. All right, lovely. We had some really good rain and lightning here in Charlotte tonight, which is always great because it cleared the energy over here. Got a good night for satsang. Yeah. Justin, do you remember what you first talked about during our session that I said to you, I would love it if you would come back to it? Because I've forgotten completely, although I remember the thought. Oh, I'd love for you to do that on the radio. Do you remember? Does anyone remember? Right when we started.
What, didn't he ask? Oh, no, wait. It's coming. He was talking about A Course in Miracles and.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I get it.
Yay. So do we want to start there tonight?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay, have a seat. Get in the hot seat.
Whoops.
Don't break the hot seat.
Is it okay?
Velcro on it. Yeah, you gotta talk nice and into it.
Okay, so basically I came in here and I shared something that came to me, which was I have some experience with some different paths that I've walked before I came here. So I have a little bit different viewpoint on these things, and I was just feeling I could sort of see this overall picture of how humanity has been sort of gradually introduced to deeper and deeper spiritual teachings. Really, in my opinion, just from what I've seen and experienced, it kind of started in like the mid-1850s with like Ramakrishna, Paramahamsa, and that whole thing. And it started, you know, then you had Vivekananda and then Yogananda, all that Kriya Yoga, and then A Course in Miracles came out in, I think, like the 70s. But really, you know, the teachings that we have here are, I think we've been gradually acclimated to the potency that of the teachings that are the Kumara teachings. Sorry, somebody sneezed. Bless you over there. And so that just came to me, and I could kind of see that happening. So, you know, all the Course in Miracles serves a good purpose, because it sort of is laying the foundation of the pretty much the same thought system, but the Kumara teachings are able to take it all the way. And I don't think I think we've been prepped for what's happening here now. And so I just wanted to. That's why I was saying that in the beginning. So,
excellent, and I thank you for that. It's a nice little plug for the work we do here. Although I'd completely forgotten what you said, but let's not leave out. And this is important too, because it's another aspect of the teachings as they move through the Kumara Center. We'll pull on the work that was done through Theosophy in the 1800s as well. And that's a totally different looking system, but the lineage is the same, which is, it's very powerful. And so the work that we do is, it brings all of it in together. You know, someone who, say, was just a student of Ramakrishna wouldn't have a clue what I was referring to when I talk about the mirror blue light of invisibility, right? But it's all interrelated, and that is a really cool component of what we do bring. I think that part of Justin, what he was saying to in our Charlotte session, what he was saying and was so, it felt so good for me to hear it, is, you know, he is a student who was walking a very serious spiritual path before he came here, and to have people like that who come and say, oh my gosh, like, you're bringing a level of spiritual work that I thought I'd seen it all, and then here's this. And wow, like, you know, people don't even know you guys exist. It's a little crazy, which he's said to me before. And it's true. But what he's also saying is that it hasn't been time. The teachings, you know, were kept very private and hidden even for an extremely long time. And I'm part of a group of servants on the planet now who can be here to start bringing them to the public in a way they have never been brought public before. And so the work that we do here, you know, it's the work, it comes directly out of the ancient mystery schools. This is, you know, before they got a little weird, the teachings there did get a little twisted after a while, but we're talking way back. And in truly, truly ancient Egypt, this is the work that was being done. And I was part of that. I have memory of that. So if I didn't just completely lose you with all of that, and now you think I'm really weird, let's see if we can keep going. So the cool thing now, though, is that we have an opportunity, as the collective consciousness continues to expand on the planet, which it's doing, certainly, it gives us more and more opportunity to reach more people who are now in the space where they can start to not only hear what the message that I'm trying to put out there, but to do something with it, you know, not to run away from it. Or be afraid of it, but to actually look at it and go, wow, like, there's something to this. And the component to me where it's really the sticking point is the concept of patterned consciousness. That to me is the big piece. That when people first hear that, it's so foreign to the mind, of course. And you don't know what to do with it. And when you really sit the first time and look conceptually at it, there is this energy that happens. And I've never been with anyone that I've worked with who hasn't had the experience of it. There's this thing that, you know, it's like the mind almost turns upside down on itself looking at that conceptually. That everything I think myself to be and believe myself to be is a complete fabrication, you know, a complete fabrication that is not accurate. And so it takes the, you know, if you look at deep psychological work, because a lot of the work I do is psychological work, extremely deep psychological work, because I deal in the unconscious, but it is psychological. So if you take it from that level, well, who out there, what psychiatrist out there is teaching you that your personality is patterned? Now, they may say you picked up a pattern as a kid, you know, that you've been repeating the same pattern with people and whatever. Okay, they'll see that piece. But they're not capable of seeing that the whole thing is patterned. The concept of I is patterned, you know. That there is only one mind being experienced by all, you know, and experienced from a space where now consciousness has identified with it and turned it into its own. Not real, but it thinks it's real. So it says, I had a thought, it was my thought, and I came up with this, and it's not true. Now, you can call me crazy, and that's fine. At some point, I promise you, in your evolutionary path, you're going to discover that for yourself. I promise you. You can't walk your path back home to that place you never left without experiencing that. You are not the creator of your thoughts. They are not yours. Now, the mind finds that very disconcerting. Certainly. I find it very liberating. What a beautiful thing. Because, I'm sorry, where do people spend the most time in their thoughts, right? They're in negative thought patterns, right? Or trying to force themselves to take on positive thought patterns, which are only there to mask the negative thought patterns. And I'm going to tell you, you're not any of it. None of it's true for you. None of it. And the mind will fight that, because it feels like it has to have control. It has to be the one in power, you know. But I'm telling you, you're free of it. It's not you. And that to me is incredibly liberating. Yeah. Remember, there's two sides to every coin. So I'm trying to show you, you know, if what comes up for you, it's very common for when I'm speaking to someone about this work, it's very common for them to experience fear, like very, like gripping fear. Like, I need to leave now. We may have lost some of you already. It's very common because the mind, it can kind of read into where it's going, and it doesn't like it. It doesn't like it. So it wants to run, you know, or turn it off or whatever. Very common. And I always kind of have to tell people, and I've had students who are really hardcore students who, even though they got into this level of work and started doing the work, they would tell me that there were times where they would be coming to session and they're like, it was everything I could do to get myself to walk up those stairs. Like, everything in me said, don't go. Don't go, don't go, don't go. But they understood they're not their thoughts. Yeah. There's this greater aspect of you that keeps moving forward, you know, despite all of the kicking and screaming that's going on mentally. And, you know, and sometimes we fall short and we listen to the irrational voice that speaks, and that's okay, right? So it happens, and then you walk that path out, and that's fine. It's fine. You know, there's no negative in the path. There just isn't. It doesn't matter what happens. There's no negative, because everything is there to show you what needs to happen next, right? So, you know, so you're walking the path hardcore and you have like this beautiful experience. Awesome. So it was there to show you, here it is. You can lock it in. You can own it and know that that's real. And now you keep moving and you've got that behind you as your impetus to keep going. Well, the same could be said in the reverse, right? You go the other way, you decide to ditch it, and now you're going to walk it out a different path. And maybe you go through a lot of pain and suffering. And then you utilize that, because it's the pain and suffering that's going to bring you back to the place where you're ready to look again. Now, mind wants to say, well, I'd rather have it the first way than the second way. Okay. And it would, of course, because mind constantly wants to run from pain, because it lives in pain. So cover the pain up at all costs, right? But when you reach the place where it's not about avoiding the pain anymore, that's already a level of liberation. You understand? To be freed to the space where you don't mind looking at the pain anymore is already a level of liberation. That's one thing about the work that, you know, I think is so powerful. It is so practical. You don't have to wait a long time to experience something life transforming. It happens right out of the gate. Yeah. I mean, right out of the gate. And so, you know, having the mindset of just, okay, I'm going to show up and I'm just going to do it is just all you need. All you need. No expectation and no attachment to any outcome. Just show up and do it. Why? Because as Megan, our treasurer over here, loves to say, like, you know, what do I have to lose? My pain? And that's what she would say. What do I have to lose? Because she came because of her pain. So to experience the mind going, don't do it. That was how she worked around that. Well, what do I have to lose? I'm not going to lose this false sense of happiness, you know? And I hope I do lose the pain. Like, that's the point. And sometimes we have to walk through the pain. In fact, we always have to walk through the pain to dissolve the pain. But when it's done, it's done. And that's the difference. You can go and get psychological help, and it's beautiful. It has its place. And you can go and follow, you know, 100 different paths, and they're all beautiful, and they all have their place. But at the end of the day, does the work transform your world? You know, and that's what people find. They find themselves drawn to a path, and they follow it, and it's awesome. And it creates whatever change has to occur, or whatever shifting, whatever experiences. But then at the end of the experience, you know, when the seeker has kind of wrung everything out of it that was there to wring out, they're left with the void again. All right. There's got to be something more. I've done all the meditations. I've done all the workshops. I've done all the this and the that, and it was great, but I'm still in the same place. Now, maybe it doesn't feel as heavy now, but it's still sitting there, right? And what we can offer is the end of the void, so to speak. Now, not offer meaning that it's something I'm going to, quote unquote, give you and it's going to transform you. No, you're going to give it to yourself, right? I'm just there to kind of give you the pieces. You got to put them together. But it is truly, truly powerful, powerful work. Well, that was a really big plug, wasn't it? For us. Oh, okay. So we're going to talk a little too about kind of getting stuck on the path, because we did that during the session, which I thought was quite good. I was talking specifically, if I remember correctly, about Advaita work, and we were looking at how there are very few paths on the planet that really are kind of a direct route. And some are direct, but then they have a stopping point. And others, not many, but there are a few that go all the way, right? And that's the point of the work that I do. So the Advaita is a beautiful path. And people who are drawn to non-dualistic teachings are beautifully aligned to you know, do the level of work that I do. The downside is that seekers in following any path can end up getting kind of trapped in these certain places of belief. And depending on the path that they're following, they may end up, the path itself may teach them the limiting belief. And then they take it on as truth. And maybe it is truth to a certain degree, right? But there could be more beyond it, which doesn't negate that level of truth. There just could be another level of truth, yeah, as there always is. So with the Advaita teachings, the downside that I see with Advaita personally is just that it brings a seeker to a certain place where You know, it's like the end goal is the re-merging with the absolute, kind of that that I always joke about, you know, floating in the sea of nothingness. And it's this state of bliss or samadhi that's achieved. Is that not true? No, it's true. It is true. But there's more. It doesn't end there. That's the thing about enlightenment. It doesn't end, right? It's like I was saying earlier that I see like the, whatever you want to call it, awakening, illumination, enlightenment, like it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. But that experience, you know, that's your starting point, right? That's your starting point. Now that's your jumping off point. From there, you just keep going. And there is no end point. God as creation itself is infinitely expanding through you, as you, infinitely expanding. There is no like, oh, I reached it and now I'm done. That does not exist. So if you hold that, let it go, because that's not accurate. And it is beautiful to be able to sit in meditation and reach a state of samadhi. And it is beautiful to be able to maintain a state of samadhi in your waking life. Beautiful. But it's not the end all be all to your awakening process. It is not. There is more. And unfortunately, getting stuck, especially those who get stuck in the meditative part, they're missing a really valuable, important component to their spiritual evolution, and that's how you show up in the world. Why on earth would you be here in a body if the point wasn't to master the form? Yeah. I mean, to think you're just going to go sit in meditation and just leave defeats the whole purpose of being here. Be here. I love that, be here now, Ram Dass, because it's, you know, so accurate on so many levels. But be here, be physical, be present, you know, in your life. You're here as a seeker to learn to live a conscious life. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. What is it to be conscious? Well, it's actually very simple. The ego is not conscious. So this thing you think of as you isn't even conscious. You aren't that. At a certain point of dissolution, you become what you are, which is a conscious being capable of choice. Yeah. Capable of self-direction. That's where the real work begins, in a sense. It feels like all this work happens beforehand, but the real mastery comes in when you're conscious again. Natural to your beingness, and now how you function in the world and how you show up in the world, that makes all the difference. That's mastery. Takes some time to get there. So you have to be careful. We have to be careful on our paths. Whatever your path is that you choose, you have to be careful that you don't get stuck in the dogma of the path, if there is dogma. Not all have that, or just the belief system itself. And I always joke, you know, that we're the church of non-belief. It should be our tagline, though, because it's the truth. Everything I teach you just about at some point will have its own point where you're going to go beyond that. But you have to start somewhere, you see. So if you are drawn to a path and what they present to you is like, this is it. This is the path and these are the steps and this is what you do. So just follow the program and you're good. Don't waste your time. Well, I say waste your time. Do it if you feel drawn to it, you know. But recognize it's going to have an ending point for you. It has to. Unless you don't get everything out of it that it's there to give you. And then you can stay with it, you know, forever. But why? Why would we do that to ourselves if we can keep going, you know? And that's the heart of the true seeker. It's the true seeker just won't accept anything but continued movement, you know. And that's my own personal experience, that the true seeker knows it when they reach the end of something, and they know it's time to let it go and time to move on again and find it. Maybe they don't know what they're looking for yet, but they know it's not what they're in. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying I outgrew that, right? It doesn't make that other thing that you did less valuable. If it wasn't for the other thing that you did, you wouldn't be ready for the next thing that you're going to do, right? So it's all equally valuable. But the true seeker just won't accept anything more than when they have that inner voice that says, yeah, there's still got to be something. There's got to be something. The true seeker will find it. And that's the beautiful thing, because when they're really ready, they'll draw the teacher to them somehow, however that works. We don't need to know how, but it never fails. When the seeker really is ready, the teacher will show up. Doesn't mean they're going to show up physically for you. They could show up on a video, you know, but they're going to show up, or in a book or something. You know, I have a really neat experience with one of our BBS listeners who seemed like a very fluky set of circumstances that led him to actually hearing our program one night, and that was it. That was all it took. You know, what he heard just kind of stopped him in his tracks, and I remember him saying to me, like, who says this? You know? Who says this stuff? Much less on radio. Like, what is that? And that was it, right? Because why? Because he was ready. Now, he might argue that point. I don't know if he would think he's ready. He's ready. He never would have shown up if he wasn't ready. It just doesn't happen that way. And yes, Peter, I'm talking about you. So it's important to recognize balance, you know, is a huge, huge, huge component to your spiritual work. Remember, your life is your spiritual path. It is your life. And any place that you're getting out of balance is just another trap for you. So it's all about bringing it into balance. So many spiritual seekers get stuck in this space where they're just ultra serious about everything all the time. You know, they just don't know how to have fun anymore, which is a real shame. The universe is laughing. Let's laugh with it, you know. And I look at Justin, because when he came to me, that, you know, that's where he sat. He was hardcore seeker. Bought into all of the stuff, right? Now, and I say that, I probably shouldn't say it that way, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody in anybody's path. But there were teachings that he had, you know, subscribed to and was very attached to, that they weren't serving him anymore. And I had to tell him that, you know, you've already done this. Let it go. Like, it's done. It's done. And for some of us, we get trapped in stuff that we walked these paths in other lifetimes, so they feel very natural for us. I'll be very attracted to go back and do that again. And it's just because you've got past life carryover. So of course it feels natural, you know. You're used to, when I was a little kid, baby, apparently, I must have been Muslim, because I would, in my crib, get up on my haunches, and I would rock myself to sleep back and forth. But that's how I'd sleep. Like, I was, you know, out pronated facing east or something. It was just like what I did. It's hysterical. But that happens. And then people are very drawn. But for a lot of you, you've already done the path, you know. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's your path for this lifetime. You want the one that's going to challenge you, not the one that you're going to fall into and, oh, this feels so natural. Like, I should just be here. You know, I've got people coming to me and they're all just like kicking and screaming. I've got people swearing at me at times because of the work that goes on, because the ego hates it. The ego just hates it. Wonderful. Now we're making progress. Yeah. You want liberation. If you're asking for liberation, that's not the same thing as asking for things to be stable and easy. You understand? It's the exact opposite. If you're asking for liberation, you're saying, go ahead, stir it all up, because that's what has to happen. So you can't stir it all up. Yes. Take it very seriously. Yes. But don't, you know, don't swim in it. You got to get out of that pool and go jump into another. Balance your life. Have some fun, you know. Is it true that when you follow a very spiritual path, generally you kind of stop drinking and taking, if you took some kind of recreational drug? Yeah, that's true. But not because someone tells you to, just because it feels like it's time. It's just a natural thing. Does it mean you never drink again? No. No. You know, I enjoy a glass of wine with dinner on occasion. A good beer, you know. But not because I feel like I need it, just because I enjoy it. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. Do I drink to excess? No, because I don't like what it does to my energetic fields. Does it mean I've never had any drink to excess since I've been walking this path? No, because I have. And it was a lot of fun. And I won't lie about that, right? The point is, people, you know, spirituality throughout history has been approached from this place. Yes, it's sacred, right? But your whole life is sacred. All of it is. All of it is sacred. How you clean your house and how you treat your kids, right? Making love, like, it's all sacred. So don't compartmentalize your spirituality and go put it in a box someplace and be like, you know, I'm going to be like this here, and then I'm going to be this person when I'm over here. It's all the same. It's all the same. It's all interconnected and interdependent. You know, all of creation is that. So lighten up, people. Right? Now, that doesn't mean you walk into satsang, you know, stinking and cracking nasty jokes. There's a time and a place for everything, right? Right. So that's all. Justin and I have to laugh because we started a thing here for fun. We're doing pick a movie night where I bring in like 5 movies, and then as a group we pick what we're going to watch. So we did our launch last week, and we watched The Love Guru. If you have not seen The Love Guru, I cannot recommend it highly enough. I love to laugh at spirituality. I do. I just love it. So it was a real eye-opener for Justin, who had never sat through a movie with me before. And in this movie, you know, it's a very satirical look at, especially, you know, East Indian spirituality. And a lot of the references are a little, what would we call them?
A little crude.
A little crude. Okay, good. I think they're hysterical. I mean, I was just laughing, and it was such an eye opener for Justin to sit there with me, and I'm just cackling, you know, watching this movie. And he was from that path of, you know, everything is so serious, and to sit there with me and watch how much I enjoyed it from a very genuine place, you know, was something for you. Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to tell them how it changed your view on Yeah. spirituality?
Well, you know, it was completely ridiculous. It was you know, I'd never seen this movie before, The Love Guru with Mike Myers, and I don't know. I guess there was a part of me while I was watching it that realized that there's a part of me that didn't want to watch a movie like that because it was kind of making fun of you know, stuff I was really involved in a serious way. So I'd never seen it. And I was just very used to very serious, you know, I spent some time practicing in an ashram, and they would, once in a while, they'd watch something, but it would be like something on the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, something like that, very, you know. And the fact of honestly, from my own personal experience, the environment of an ashram, when you're living there and you're a monk or a monk in training or something, it becomes so, they can't have any fun at all. They can't even sleep on beds. You know what I mean? So the pressure Like, even for the best of the students, it just builds and builds. And I'm like, somebody's got to let these guys go to the beach one day or something. Just, you know, just have an off day. Just you know, relax a little bit. So I guess, I don't know, God was kind of, you know, giving me a fun day with this movie night, because it was, I was all like, yeah, let's watch, you know, let's watch something deep here. Let's, you know, let's watch The Matrix, or like, you know, really get into something. But it was fantastic. It was a funny movie, but it was a great experience for me, because I was sitting right next to Shusara, and she's like, I saw some stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I don't. Well, you know, it's like if you're with your mom or something, or you're, you know, so, it's like, you know, I don't know if that's appropriate for a lady. You know what I mean? And she was like laughing harder than I was. So it was a great experience, but it helped me to like relax a little bit, even more internally, because I was very serious and, you know, very hard on myself, and I thought I had to be perfect and everything, or whatever. And I don't know. So it was a movie night, but there was still a lot of insights and a lot of things that shifted for me too watching that. So yeah, I had a great time, and I feel a little more at ease. And I'm happy Shusara can watch movies like that and have a good time, because I think most of us are watching movies like that, but we're like, oh, you know, if you have a guru or something, it's like they wouldn't. Generally, they don't do stuff like that. So it was a really eye-opening experience for me. So,
thank you for sharing that. So, go back to balance. Yeah. You must lead a balanced life. Remember, you know, look at the Buddha. What does the Buddha say? You know, you must walk the middle path. That is balance. You're meant to laugh. You're meant to live. I mean, you're here to live, people. And at a certain point, you're capable of living consciously. And what a beautiful day that is, when now you can live consciously, right? And why would you not want to live to the fullest? To the fullest, you know? Now, from a conscious place, that doesn't look the same as from an unconscious patterned place. Living life to the fullest from a patterned place looks like what? I have a lot of money, and, you know, you fill in the blanks, because whatever it means, the way that patterning was done for you. But for you, living a full life means something. When you live consciously, it's different, right? Because it means that you are fully present in every moment, whatever that moment may bring. Living life to the fullest for someone patterned means you stay happy, right? Well, in an awakened state, there's nothing that shifts you out of your beingness, which isn't happy, but it's not unhappy. It just is. So whatever moves in the moment is perfectly fine. And you can get in there and live it. Yeah. And watch the drama and be in the drama. And have it swirl around and, you know, be part of all of it, right? Not attaching to any of it. And it's exciting. It's exciting. Who says, you know, where is it that we've built something up where, you know, in order for me to be content in my world, everything has to go the way I want it to go? It's crazy. Nothing's going to go the way you want it to go. There are very few things anyway, you know. You're not the author of that. So let that go and learn to just be present with what is and enjoy the ride, because it's a ride, right? Who says that? Bill Hicks. It's just a ride. It is just a ride. You know? The roller coaster in your dreams, it's just a ride. Be present with the ride, whatever it brings you, right? And right now is a challenging time. There's a lot energetically that's moving, and there's just a lot of upheaval, and you can look at the collective and see that easily enough. We got the whole political upheaval. We've got weather upheaval. We've got hurricanes moving through pretty close to where I live now. All of it, right? That's good. Stir it up. Let's take a look at it, right? Stop being afraid. I'm going to say this very bluntly. Okay, because this is who this teacher is. I cut to the chase, and that's it, right? So very bluntly, stop being afraid of looking at your shit. Because that's what it comes down to. People don't like to look at the stuff
where they know they've done something wrong, where their conscience goes, yeah, that wasn't a good call, dude, right? We don't want to look at that. We don't want to sit with it. Stop being afraid of doing it and start getting in there and confronting your demons. Even if you don't do any of the work that I do, take that little piece and do something with it, right? You all have the same stuff. And I don't say you from the space of excluding myself from it. When I walked my path, I had my own stuff too, believe me. And some of it was ugly. But of course, how could it be otherwise? It was patterned that way, right? Very innocently enough, but patterned. So great. So get the understanding behind you that the way you are today, this person that you've become, that you hate, right, isn't your fault. It was patterned into consciousness from the time you were tiny, and mind takes everything in, and it looks at everything that's going on, stuff that didn't have anything to do with you, but it was watching it all happen, and it was remembering every single component on every level of everything that was going on, and sticking it all in this database back there, and using all the data to then create the beliefs that would determine how it would perceive the world going forward. So it's not like you showed up as a baby and took this stuff on, like, yeah, I want to believe that and I want to believe that. It wasn't like that. It was imprinted onto your consciousness. And that's innocent. You understand? That's innocent. You didn't do anything wrong. All right? And neither from that space did all the people around you who harmed you or hurt you or wronged you, because the same thing was done to them. And they only functioned the way that they learned to function because of the imprinting that was placed on them. And we'll just keep tracking it back, all the way back, all the way back, all the way back. There's innocence that sits there. And when you have that peace and you understand and you can see the innocence, it doesn't matter how much you hate a person. You can find some compassion. Some compassion. Now, it doesn't mean it takes away the pain. It doesn't mean it takes away your memory of the things that happen, but you can get in there and go, okay, you know, for the things that I've done wrong in my world, where I can look at them and say I really screwed up, what would I ask of another person, right? What would you ask? Forgiveness? Yeah. So if I would ask it of another, can I not be the one to give it to another? It doesn't mean you like the action, but you can forgive the person behind the action. Not easy. Becomes very easy at a certain stage when you do the work that I do. But even if you don't, take that piece. I mean, just look at that piece. Who are we to judge another? Really? We don't know. You know, this is the thing that I say to my kids and stuff all the time. Like, it's so easy for people to get in the space of judging when they see this stuff happen between, especially like two other people, and you're the third party and you're looking at it and then you want to be judgmental about the whole thing. And it's like, you know, you don't know what's underneath that dynamic. You don't know the history between those two people. You don't know the karma that was built up between those people and why they're having to move through what they're moving through now. Who are you to judge that? Right? And we could say that of ourselves for everything. Who are we to judge that? Now, on one level, from an awakened state, you can judge an act, right, as being beneficial or not beneficial, certainly. But what you don't do anymore is you don't use it as something to place judgment on the person, right? So I'll take Justin. I'm gonna tell on you. I'll take Justin as an example. So I have this, you know, beautiful student who came into our center and was, you know, incredibly affected by what was going on, but there was still a lot of stuff that was undone. And he came to me, you know, saying that what he wanted above all was liberation. And I said, are you sure? I said, because you need to understand. If that's the stand you're going to take with me, it means I'm going to push you. You're not going to go the easy path. I'm going to push you. Yes, 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 yes. That's what I want. Right? Okay. Just remember that. Remember you said that. Okay. So all this stuff happens in the world. All this, he does all this work. All this stuff happens. Well, I created a situation that I knew would push buttons for everybody in my organization. And he was affected and got very affected, right? Took it very personally and just the ego just ran with it. So I attempted through several email communications back and forth to show him what he was sitting in, right? And you were very self-righteous. He basically, you know, gave me the proverbial finger, told me I was, you know, a sham and everything else, different words. And then he left. Right. Then he left. And he had his own experiences to walk through at that point. And this is what can happen. Right. You want to tell the rest of the story? Needless to say, he's sitting here again today. Right. Came back from a space of wanting to come back because his world was falling apart. And I pushed and I told him no initially. Yeah. And I knew that would be very hurtful. But I did it for his own good because he was lacking a component. He was lacking the humility that was necessary to come back from a truly humble and grounded place. And it was apparent in his writing to me initially. So then it was like, a couple more months after that he had to go through more life experiences and then did come back from a completely different place. Because he had seen things through his life experience that had shown him, given him lessons that were necessary for him to be able to come back from a different level of energy, right? Now, in all of that happened that with what he did, now he probably thought I hated him. And I could see why he would have, right? But it never occurred to me to hate him. Why would I? I love him. He's God. He's me. What's not to love? Yeah. Now, I could see what he did, and I had to hold him accountable for the actions, right? He did things that weren't okay. He said things that were detrimental to other people in my organization, right? And potentially dangerous to what mind does as soon as they hear stuff like that. So I had other things I had to deal with that were caused by him moving through what he moved through. But that's just an action, right? And I don't lose for a second where the action comes from. Of course it did that. Of course the ego did that. It was your pattern. Why would I expect anything different from you, you know? And when I had to say no to him when he wanted to come back, it was because he had a little more to learn. And the only way he was going to get that was for me to push him away. And I understood at the time that I did it, how hurtful it would be, right? I knew it was exactly what the patterning was going to anticipate and would, you know, it would be tough. I knew it, but I had to do it, right? You know, the guide doesn't always get the fun stuff to do. They have to do hard things. But and Mira, who's with us tonight, she said something to him earlier that the person that he was before he left and the person that he is now, as she's been reintroduced to him, are very different people. And I would absolutely agree. His energy is completely different now because he had to walk through it all, right? But from my space, he's always been the same to me, right? Now, can we learn? Granted, you haven't had my experiences. You haven't walked what I've walked. But can we not just take that little piece and learn something from it, right? Can I just look, you know, all of you tonight, look at your spouse, look at your kids, look at your friends and your parents and look at them and just see them for the innocence, right, that's underneath the persona that isn't real. And this person, they always know how to trigger me, the one thing that they always do. But it's not them. Right? It's not them. They're not conscious of what they're doing. And that's a really important piece. It's unconscious, that behavior. Well, she just wants to hurt me. Maybe she does, but it's not conscious. The ego wants to hurt because it needs to. Because on that end, the ego's hurting so bad that the only way it starts to feel a little better is to hurt someone else. You see? It's this self-protective mechanism. Kill or be killed, right? I mean, basically. Now, it's our job, though. Look past it. Look to the essence there. Find something in there to love, right? Even if it's purely conceptual. Use that for now. Okay, like I totally can't see you as God. I see you as the devil, as a matter of fact. But I'm going to force myself. You are God. You are. You are. You are. You know? Good. It's not easy, but do it. It makes an impact. It does. Who are we as humans if we are not compassionate? You know, compassion is the highest, absolute highest human emotion, compassion. You don't know what anyone else has walked, even if you've been a large part of their journey. They had a whole bunch that existed before you or without you, however you want to look at it. And so from that place, how can we judge when we don't know what they've walked through? Again, you can say that the action was bad. That's fine. No one's saying don't do that. You know, when people hurt others, that's not okay, right? So on that level, that's true. But you got to get beyond that and get under it because that's where the compassion sits. The compassion can say, yeah, here was this thing you did and that wasn't okay. And so we're going to address it from that place. But compassion goes under it and goes, but geez, you know, how terrible I do feel that you are so completely and utterly out of touch with who you are. That you have no clue what you could be. Yeah. All you are is what you learned to be, but you don't even have a clue what you could be. And how could we not have compassion for that? Because you as seekers, all of you, if you're listening to me, you all have an awareness of what you can be. You're taking steps to move into the thing that you naturally are and how beautiful that is. And oh my gosh, does it not break your heart to think that there are people out there who can't even remotely tap into that? It's heartbreaking. So hang on to that, you know, compassion, compassion. Yeah, you say horrible things to me and it's got to be really hard to be you. Hold on to that. Okay, so back to balance. Live in balance, you know, work on that. If you're ultra serious about everything, go lighten up a little. You know, go to the movies, go out dancing, go bowling. Bowling's super fun. And no, you don't have to be drunk to go bowling. That's what my husband would say. So much better when you're drinking. Bowling's awesome. Play some miniature golf. You know, like do something fun. Laugh. You're meant to laugh. At some point, you wake up enough and that's all you'll do is laugh. Start it now. Why wait? You know, why wait? Limited time, limited life. You're here to enjoy it. Do what you got to do. Get through the hard stuff, but enjoy the rest. You know, that's what we're here for. So in that vein, are we up time-wise? Yeah. In that vein, this is where our song for tonight comes from, our meditation. And you're going to think it's not a meditation song, and I'm going to challenge you to actually sit and meditate to this. So I'm going to leave you with a beautiful song from an awesome group. And we will be with you again next week for Satsang. Thank you. Good night. You are endless.
You are divine.